All.com.
Good morning. We're looking at one wreck early on Blanding Boulevard north at Argyle Forest. There's a crash that's now blocking the right lane as you make your way out. We're looking at a good chance of rain with thunderstorms by the afternoon. Today's high in the upper 80s. Tonight, there's even a greater chance of rain with thunderstorms and an overnight low of 71. Right now, it's 74 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un signed a document on Tuesday stating that the regime would work towards a complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. A study by the University of California finds that a higher minimum wage increases poverty. And the Pew Research Center says public support for the death penalty has increased.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Don't forget to go to the app. It's right on the website at wbob.com, wbob.com. Download it on your phones. It is free. 3 minutes after the hour. Good morning. Ed Dean here at 6 a.m. along with Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB. So historical, yes. Is there something there? Yes. How will the media address this? Who knows? Those are always the days to come. But nobody cannot say that this is something of a first between a North Korean dictator and that of President Donald Trump, where nobody of these two types have met in over 70 years.
In Tosa Island, where a historic meeting has taken place, no sitting president has ever met or spoken on the phone with a North Korean leader until now. And President Trump not only has met with Kim Jong-un, they have signed a joint document agreeing to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Before he went into his meeting with the North Korean dictator, if in the audible here is a little bit fuzzy, that wasn't ours, that was just how the news staff had it. This is what President Trump says. He's looking forward to a terrific relationship with the North Korean dictator.
We're going to have a great discussion, and I think tremendous success. They've been tremendously successful. And it's my honor, and we will have a terrific relationship, I have no doubt.
He said we'll have a terrific relationship, he has no doubt. This is what the president said Tuesday morning, right after they had their meeting.
Thank Chairman Kim for taking the first bold step toward a bright new future for his people. Our unprecedented meeting, the first between an American president and a leader of North Korea, proves that real change is indeed possible. My meeting with Chairman Kim was honest, direct, and productive. We got to know each other well in a very confined period of time, under very strong circumstance. We're prepared to start a new history, and we're ready to write a new chapter between our nations.
And he said that the sanctions will continue to be in place. The two leaders committed to a complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. They also wanted to establish new relations. The two sides also to commit recovering. And I found this to be very interesting, Roger. And I think this is one of the most important things here, because the Korean War was called the Unforgotten War,
right?
As you know. And it's fascinating to watch about that war and MacArthur and all that what took place. But the two sides committed to recovering the POW MIA remains, including all the immediate reparations of those already, repatriation of those already identified. Documents also signing in the ceremony. Trump called it a comprehensive Democrat. Even the North Korean dictator was quoted as saying that the world will see a major change. The North Korean dictator says the past and old prejudice. Well, go get that. The practices that worked as obstacles, well, now they will overcome what's been taking place. How is some of the media reaction? ABC News anchor overseas, Juju Chang, says Koreans would have never imagined this meeting ever taken place.
Every Korean family I know has suffered some huge loss or upheaval because of the Korean War. So these historic images are images that most Koreans would never have imagined would have transpired so quickly.
Guess which individual is getting a lot of airtime from all of this?
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. Oh, boy. Right. He's got a Make America Great hat on again. Was being interviewed by Chris Cuomo of Primetime with Cuomo. By the way, his ratings are horrible anyways. But listen to what Dennis Rodman. First off, he says, I wanted to sit down with President Obama. He goes, Obama just threw me under the bus, didn't even want to talk. And listen to the excitement coming from Rodman.
My ears will be open. And I tried to do that to Obama. And Obama didn't even give me the time of day. I asked him. I said, I have something to say from North Korea. He just brushed me off. But that didn't deter me. I still kept going back. I kept going back. I showed my loyalty and my trustworthy to this country. And I said to everybody, I said, the door will open.
Remember, and listen, I'm going to be the first to admit, I was probably one of those guys. Not whether Rahman had anything to do with it.
Uh-huh.
He was part of it. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. He saw something. I'm not saying he was the ambassador, but he was consistent about this. Listen to what he said, again, as the second part of this interview.
And today is a great day for everybody. Singapore, Tokyo, China, everything. It's a great day.
And Dennis Rodman is going to get his more than 15 minutes of fame, is he not?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, I thought that it was a little strange. You got this, you know, really eccentric basketball player playing diplomat there. But I thought that even during that time, it was good for America, even though Obama didn't speak with him, because it allowed our intelligence community to kind of follow what they were saying between each
other. But let's be honest. Uh-huh. I'm even the first one to admit when I'm wrong. Uh-huh. And I don't, I mean, we have to find the clips, but didn't a lot of people, whether it was from the left or right, mm-hmm. didn't they sit back and go, what in the world is Dennis Rodman doing? I'm the first one to admit. I think a lot of people on my side of the aisle said that.
I was afraid that Dennis Rodman was going to go to jail because he was over there doing things, and we don't have relationships that would allow us to have you know, the type of things he was doing over there in North Korea, you know, engaging in things that were money-making. But nonetheless, I thought it was a positive for the country because it allowed our intelligence community to kind of follow him and monitor their communications and have an idea of what was going on in North Korea, more so than they would have had otherwise.
Commentator Mark Stein, when asked about, okay, well, then what is the difference between this and the predecessors? Not just Obama, but Clinton and Bush. This is what Stein had to say about the style of President Trump.
The Obama administration. And this is the complete opposite. Trump's signature style was basically to go metaphorically nuclear on the Pyongyang regime, and then when it was clear that he wasn't like Obama and other Western leaders, to offer the carrot of negotiation. And then just when, you know, Kim was getting cocky and he decided to start trashing Mike Pence and John Bolton and all the rest of it, at that point, Trump yanked the rug out from under him. So this is a very different style. And in a sense, the house-trained Western leader is behaving as unpredictably as the third world basket case guy.
You know, George W. Bush was called the John Wayne during the Iraq War. Then if that's the case, what is Donald Trump? The Dirty Harry?
I don't know. That's a good question to ask. But you know what? You have to admit, the guy knocked it out of the park.
Is this story, you know, we talked about this early in the week. A lot of people, in fact, we're going to get to the clip. They were all pumped up about the Inspector General, the Hillary Clinton email scandal report that's going to come out on this Thursday and even the follow online. More people cared about that from a lot of the listeners and some of the stuff with North Korea. This is historical out there. Is this is a historical meeting? Yes. The question is, you know, is it part of what we saw with Reagan and Gorbachev back in the 80s, you know, verify truth, but verify, mm-hmm. verify the truth. And the question is this great? Yes. But how long is this really going to last? The euphoria.
You know what? I hope it prevents a potential nuclear war. And if that's the case, then, you know, there's no way you can measure, you know, what the impact is on this, because it is a positive, I believe, for everybody in the region. I think Dennis Rodman was right. Japan, Korea, the entire Asian Pacific Rim right now can breathe a big sigh of relief right now.
Everybody's getting the popcorn, Roger. I am looking forward to it on Thursday. Michael Horowitz, the Barack Obama appointee, Inspector General, is supposed to address also a Senate Intelligence Committee. I think it should be open. I don't know if the camera's going to be there, but also a House Intelligence Committee about the findings of the Hillary Clinton investigation. Fox News, Catherine Herridge with that report.
The report investigating the FBI and Justice Department's handling of the Clinton email case should be revealed in a matter of days. A source close to the process expects Inspector General Michael E. Horowitz to brief lawmakers on Thursday morning, then post the report online. The report, which includes a classified section, is said to be longer than the 500-page investigation into the Fast and Furious scandal.
Now, folks, did you hear that, Roger? One more time, listen to this. This caught my attention.
Section is said to be longer
right
than the report, which includes a classified section, is said to be longer than the 500-page investigation into the Fast and Furious scandal.
In other words, this report's big. A classified section of this report is longer than the Fast and Furious about guns being run over into Mexico into this country.
Which were 500 pages long.
That is incredible.
Wow.
When you look at that news story. The Pew Research Center has come out with the latest poll. The support for the death penalty has declined. Has declined even among some religious conservatives, those that go to the Catholic Church, maybe some of those of other members of certain faith. But over the past few years, Roger, of decades low back in 2016, according to the Pew Research Survey, the support for the death penalty has actually increased. Just back in 2016, only 49% favored the death penalty for people convicted of murder. Today, it's around 54% of Americans, while 39% oppose this. Now, they break it down by gender. Men, of course, support it. Republicans, 77% currently favor it, compared with 52% of independents, and only 35% of Democrats support the death penalty, according to the Pew Research Center.
You know, that's interesting. You know, I wonder why the political divide, other than maybe conservatives are just harder on crime than liberals.
Well, that's always been that fact. When it comes to the issue of race, now, this is how the Pew Research broke it down. 60% of whites favor the death penalty for those convicted of murder, 47 of Hispanics, and only 36% of those in the black community. I'm not shocked by that. Are you surprised?
I'm surprised of how low it is. I'm not surprised that it's lower.
More is this as we continue to move along. 222 Talk. 222-8255. North Korea, overrated, underrated? What do you think? Historic? Or is this just a great high for the today? Also, the Inspector General report coming out on Thursday. What do you think? Got a lot more issues to talk about. The death penalty. Does the death penalty actually, do you believe, deter crime? Do you support the death penalty? Want to know what you think. 222-TALK. 222-8255. Talk Radio WBOB.
On Blanding Boulevard North at Argyle Forest, there's a crash that has the right lane blocked. Traffic this morning is being brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Are you searching for a church where the music and the message are God-honoring? Do you want to hear expository preaching with verse-by-verse presentation of God's Word? If you have said yes to these questions, then you are invited to worship at First Conservative Baptist Church, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, just 1 mile south of I-295. Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor, founder, invites you to worship.
The 2018 election season is underway. WBOB is your 2018 election authority. Every candidate.
Our friend, State Representative Matt Caldwell, one of the Republicans running for the Agriculture Commissioner.
Every issue.
How is it possible that Hillary Clinton, her campaign, the DNC, are not under investigation for collusion with the Russians?
Every day. WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
There's a chance of rain with thunderstorms by afternoon and a high in the upper 80s. More rain this evening and a low of 71 right now, 74 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A study by the University of California finds that a higher minimum wage increases poverty. The Pew Research Center says public support for the death penalty has increased. And President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un signed a document on Tuesday stating that the regime will work towards a complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Don't forget to go to the website, WBOB.com. Download the app. It is free. Listen to us any part of the morning that you've missed going into your work. Hey, Ed, we're going over here. You know, it's... You know, it's we like listening to the story. We can't get it in our, you know, the FM and the AM. Hey, just take your phone in with you. Go to WBOB.com, download the app. It is free. More as we continue to move along, Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson. How would you compare President Trump's numbers with that of first term of President Obama and President Ronald Reagan? Interesting. Both had come into tough economies during their term. Here's what Laura Ingraham said when she broke down the numbers.
Reported that jobless claims fell in June to their lowest level in 44 years. Layoffs are also way down, near a 50-year low. And 223,000 jobs were added to the economy in May. Voters are feeling the improvement in the economy, and they're rewarding President Trump with higher approval ratings. A new Wall Street Journal NBC poll has the president at 44%, the highest ever in that poll, which is also on par with where Reagan was in 1982 and where Obama was in 2010.
Now, 44%, President Obama, remember, a lot of conservatives had written him off. There was no way, when you look at the numbers that he had, that he was going to win a re-election. Reagan had one of the worst recessions of all time, high gasoline prices, high interest rates, high inflation. The misery index, double dip recessions, whatever. And he was able to come out. By the way, higher unemployment than that of than President Obama, believe it or not, when you look at the numbers there. And yet they were able to come out of it. The same numbers also parallel with President Trump. He's riding on a high right now, is he not? With North Korea, the economy, 50% of those like the way the economy's going, even among Democrats. They don't buy into the whole Trump-Russia collusion, even according to some of the pollsters by Peter Hart of the NBC Wall Street Journal. He's on a high right now.
I've spoken with Democrats, Ed, who said that they did not support Donald Trump for president, but it turned out that he did a good job, and they're honest enough to admit it to me.
But here's the interesting question. Will they still vote for him?
You know what? I don't know. You know, the conversation didn't get to that place yet, but they like the fact they're taking home more money every couple of weeks in their check because the tax law is now taking effect to some extent. We won't see the full impact on that for about another year or so. But people like the economy, and this was even before summit in Singapore with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
You talk about the economy, but is the economy... too good. Remember Jim Cramer, Democrat, financial analyst from CNBC, says these are broad-based numbers. I haven't seen anything unlike this. This is unbelievable. Investment strategist Sam Stovall says, you know, things are good when you look at the last several years of returns of investments, when you look at earnings. But he says, I get a little nervous when I hear the word we're in a boom compared to what we saw as a housing boom back in the 2000s.
Revenue gains. So revenues are actually a lot stronger than they have been over the past several years. So things are looking good. If you want to be concerned about something, you just have to say to yourself, are things beginning to look too good? You start looking for words like boom all the time. I tell you, whenever you see the word boom too many times, that's not a good thing.
Boom, shakalaka, boom. I mean,
what in the world says, why would that be a problem? Help me, because you understand economics more than the average person.
And thank you for that compliment. But I understand where he's coming from, because the word boom of a housing boom, and that was pretty much, remember, it was a boom, then a bubble, and you've got a boom in, for example, in the car industry when interest rates are low, and that'll slow down. You've got a bubble and a boom. I mean, it's I can spend an hour on this.
Okay.
I'm not trying to talk. I don't want to talk higher than anybody else, because I'm not really higher than anybody else.
I mean, almost like he sounds like saying, you know, be careful if your wife is too pretty.
Yeah, that's
that was a song that's written about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, uh-huh. But what I'm saying, when things are going too good, uh-huh, that, you know, the boom, like, for example, in South Florida, there's a housing boom going on, but that does not mean that's translating into the rest of the state. So in other words, if the rest of the state slows down, there may be a boom, then there could be a bubble. But even Sam Stovall says, even with the boom, he goes, I get a little nervous about those key words. For example, I heard Dave Ramsey say one time, when people are investing, I don't. When people are not investing, then I'm going to invest.
That makes sense. Okay.
But the question is if the economy's too good, asked by Fox Business News' Maria Bartolo Roma, she asked Sam Stovall, she says, When is there going to be a downturn in the economy then, if there is one?
Are you expecting a slowdown in the coming years? When do things start slowing down in your view? Because we've been talking about a narrative of the end of 19 and 20 and really a watch on the consumer.
Yeah. So is there going to be a slowdown in the economy? He brings up an interesting statistic. He says every Republican since that of Teddy Roosevelt has had a recession in their first term.
Well, I mean, every Republican president since Teddy Roosevelt has seen a recession that started in their first term in office. So I don't think it's, I'm making a bold prediction by saying that we'll probably fall into recession before the end of President Trump's first term in office.
What?
That would be 2020.
That's if you based on economic history.
All right. I don't see it, but, you know, we'll wait and see.
You remember this clip that we played earlier in the week? This is a fascinating story about welfare, minimum wage, poverty. Remember Bernie Sanders?
Candidates who are fighting for working people. And by the way, where we are winning hands down is that our progressive agenda, which, as you will remember, a few years ago was considered to be fringe and extreme, that's kind of mainstream America now. The American people do support Medicare for all, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, making public colleges and universities tuition-free, rebuilding our infrastructure for $1 trillion.
Okay, the minimum wage debate. Well, guess what? A new study from a prominent researcher, which is David Newark, who's at the University of California, Irvine economist, says that over the decades, the minimum wage and higher minimum wage does not reduce poverty in disadvantaged neighborhoods, even in poor income neighborhoods.
Interesting. You know, why do you believe that is? It's because they can't get the jobs at all because they're, I guess, people who are more qualified are getting the minimum wage jobs.
Well, we've covered stories. Well, welfare does keep people poor. According to The Economist, he says that this is going to have a big debate about the federal wage and the slowdown of the liberal push for a $15 hour minimum wage. He also points out that the evidence that cash welfare fails to lower poverty.
Hmm.
So he includes the minimum wage to help out, you know, those in the poor income areas,
right,
and then the welfare, and you combine it together. Even the earned income tax credit that Ronald Reagan brought back in the early 80s,
right,
he says that is not turned around and help out those in the poor communities.
You think it's because it increases inflation, or people are just, you know, marked out of the job market altogether? Or
no, that is an interesting statistic. You know, the Nancy Pelosi came out and said, for example, unemployment extension benefits, it used to be 25 weeks, 52 weeks, and it was 99 weeks, that for every dollar that was spent, $2 was turned around and put in the economy. She had nothing to base that upon.
Hmm.
It just, when you look at the studies, if you're making so much amount of money and you're happy just to make it and you're comfortable in life, you don't want to go any further, why should you?
Right.
If they're going to jack you up to a higher minimum wage that you have not earned, or you're going to get welfare that you probably don't deserve, some would say. Also, the study points out, when they look at it, that, again, the earned income tax credit, he also points out, according to The Economist, says that the analyst finds that a dollar increase in the minimum wage raises poverty rates and the government dependency about 3%.
Hmm.
So, yes, I mean, even if you had to look with inflation, for example, if you're getting a dollar in return, but the goods are $2, sorry, it doesn't cut the mustard test on that as well. But again, this is all going to be debated coming up because Bernie Sanders believes that everybody needs a basic income wage out there.
So speaking of all that, Bernie Sanders has a new plan to slow down unemployment. He wants to guarantee every single American a job working for the government. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders promised millions of new jobs on the campaign trail. Now he wants to use your tax dollars to make the federal government guarantee a job paying $15 an hour plus health benefits.
Now, again, this is the University of California. This is not the most conservative group out there. So the question it has to be asked, if the economy's turning around, if the economy's too good, as some would say, if you look at these reports, and by the way, the media is going to gloss over this. They're not going to report this here. The bottom line is that if the cash, I mean, the study was quite interesting. I read it, that if you got earned income tax credit, this economist from the University of California, Irvine, also points out that the welfare combined with the, okay, earned income tax credit, welfare, and the minimum wage doesn't get you out of poverty.
Hmm.
What's going on here then?
Exactly. And my question is, when you have these guaranteed jobs options available for people out there, you know, if they are working, wouldn't that be a better thing than staying home and watching television all day long, though?
Well, you would suppose that, but you don't want I think we're maybe not asking it the right way, Roger. If the government's going to give money, no. It should be the private sector, where, like we did back in the days of 1996 with Bill Clinton, you within 48 months, you get them from welfare to work.
As new technologies replace work, the question for the future is how best to provide economic security for all. A universal basic income could be an answer.
Former Secretary of Under Bill Clinton on the word labor, Robert Rice, says it's a minimum wage. No, now we call it basic income.
Some think it could be superior to welfare or other kinds of public assistance because a universal basic income doesn't tell people what to spend the assistance on, and everyone qualifies. In recent years, evidence has shown that giving people cash as a way to address poverty actually works.
Really? But they have nothing to base that on. So you've got evidence in front of you. You've got the libs like Rice versus the University of California economist here that sits back and says the two, I'm sorry, somebody's wrong. It's interesting. You always got the information in front of you. One side says this and the other side says that.
Exactly. You know, people, when they get a chance to earn their money, I believe they care about what they do with it a lot more than they would if it's handed to them.
Be an owner, not a loner. More as we continue to move along. 222-TALK-222-8255 Talk Radio WBOB.
On Blanding Boulevard going north at Argyle Forest, look out for a crash. It's blocking the right lane. And 95 north of the Martin Luther King Parkway exit, the right lane's blocked because of construction.
Are you frustrated with your office coffee service, your vending machines, micromarkets, or water coolers? Hi, I'm Townsend Russell, owner of Florida Best Vending, Micromarkets, and Office Coffee Service. If you are frustrated with your vending machines or micromarket, if you are unhappy with your office coffee service, if you do not like your water coolers, then let us show you how we can take what is causing you frustration and turn it into something that brings you joy. Florida Best Vending, Micromarkets, and Office Coffee Services. Family owned, professional, high integrity, and simply the best. FloridaBestVending.com. That's FloridaBestVending.com.
Attention all business owners. Are you happy with your website? Is your website easily found on the internet? How about your social media? Does your company have a professional and engaging social media presence? If your answer is no, then contact Smarty Digital today for help with your website, digital marketing, or social media campaign. Call or click today for a free digital marketing audit. It will be the smartest decision you will ever make. Call Smarty Digital at 904-674-3370. That's 904-674-3370. Or click SmartyDigital.com.
There has never been a better time to get out on the water on a new Kawasaki or Sea-Doo personal watercraft from Jacksonville Power Sports. Take advantage of the great deals going on right now. With the best selection and the most knowledgeable staff around, Jacksonville Power Sports can set you up with the perfect watercraft at the right price. Drop by the store on Atlantic Boulevard. They're just a half mile west of 295 and check out the huge inventory. Jacksonville Power Sports, your fun starts here. Call 641-5320, online at jacksonvillepowersports.com.
Strong chance of rain with thunderstorms by the afternoon and a high of 90 degrees. Tonight, more rain's on the way. Overnight, the low 71, and right now it's 74 at WBOB.
Roger, there's a big statewide news story that we talked about yesterday. Commissioner of Agriculture Adam Putnam, which oversees the concealed weapons permit, where I guess an employee failed to log in. They had to turn away about 290-300 permits. They say that the media is trying to say that there was no investigation going on. The Commissioner of Agriculture says no. We actually did investigations, and now they're trying to include Parkland, Florida, and the Pulse nightclub into this. We're going to have this debate coming up next with the guy who's running for that seat. More coming your way, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. After meeting with North Korea's Kim Jong-un for about 5 hours, President Trump says he's ready to start a new history with North Korea, while Kim says the two leaders have agreed to leave the past behind. At their summit in Singapore, the leaders have agreed to get rid of all nuclear weapons on the Korean Peninsula. Looks like White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow is going to be sidelined for a while. The word came from President Trump on Twitter that Kudlow had suffered a heart attack described by the White House as very mild. A full recovery is expected. It was a tragic end to a nearly 24-hour hostage-taking in Orlando, Florida. Four children who had been held by a gunman were killed. The hostage-taker is dead as well. Apparently, he took his own life. On Wall Street this morning, Dow futures down 31 points. S&P futures off 3 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Laura Ingraham, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Hey, we're looking at a strong chance of rain this afternoon and a high of 90. Right now, 74 at WBOB.
All right. Man, Roger, get that exercise this morning. Come on in, man. Sit down, guys. Let's get this. It's 31 minutes after the top of the hour. Good morning, Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson right here on Talk Radio WBOB. Actually, the knobs, everything down there. Can we remind everybody, just keep that mic down. Can we remind everybody of what the media said just a couple weeks back when President Trump originally was going to cancel the meeting with that of the North Korean dictator?
I'd like to begin by saying that based on the recent statement of North Korea, I have decided to terminate the planned summit in Singapore on June 12th. While many things can happen and a great opportunity lies ahead potentially, I believe that this is a tremendous setback for North Korea and indeed a setback for the world.
And then you remember what the media said about all of this just the same day.
There goes that Nobel Peace Prize he was.
There you go.
There it goes.
Oh my gosh.
Donald Trump's lack of rigor, his lack of seriousness, destabilizes this world at the great peril of the world and the American people. This is an unserious man with an unserious approach.
The letter that the president sent, as a friend of mine said in an email to me as I was on the train to New York, it sounds like a 13-year-old stream of consciousness in a breakup letter from overnight camp.
I get it. I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me. But by the way, call me.
The art of diplomacy is a lot harder than the art of the deal.
So that's what they did. And guess what happened Tuesday morning?
Sentosa Island, where a historic meeting has taken place. No sitting president has ever met or spoken on the phone with a North Korean leader until now. And President Trump not only has met with Kim Jong-un, they have signed a joint document agreeing to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
It's incredible what's taken place. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Here in our studios with us, and this is a big statewide news story that's been blowing up. Our good friend, State Representative Matt Caldwell, is live in the studios with us. The website, votecaldwell.org. You're running for the Agriculture Commissioner, which is currently held by Adam Putnam. There is a big story, and I wonder if the media is really blowing this out of proportion. Let me set this story up. We talked about this early in the week, me and Roger.
Yeah.
We basically covered it because I wanted to see what more aftermath. Underneath the Department of Agriculture, over what, the last year, a couple of years, there was 291, almost 300 gun applicants that were turned down. The media is saying that there was no investigation because an employee failed to log into the NCIS, which is the national computer data, about whether or not, you know, they wanted in other states and is there federal problems. But the Commission of Agriculture says, no, you guys have got the story wrong. There have been background checks. What is the story that we're not talking about here, Representative Caldwell?
Well, look, obviously this is straight up a media hit piece on a candidate that's running for governor. When you dig into the details, it's pretty straightforward. You know, look, if you had an employee that was paid to go inspect the gas pumps, another job for the ag commissioner,
right,
and he was just goofing off and not doing it, and you know, at some point you figured out, hey, these gas pumps aren't being inspected. What are you going to do?
Yeah, we got plenty of people around here that we pay to do work, and they just goof off, yeah, like this radio show.
So,
really, who would that be?
No,
you fire them and you go back and fix the issue, and that's what happened here. The thing for people to understand is there's three background checks that are actually run,
right,
and the least reliable one is this one, the NICS system. It's the one that's kind of if you don't make it through the first two. You know, okay, we'll run it through the last one,
right,
and see. And so the allegation that there was no background checks is false. There were two that everybody got, and this employee was responsible to run the third with a different database, and she didn't. And when they found out, they fired her and reran it and flagged a bunch, about 261 people.
Roger, we had covered this, and I mean, this is a huge story going on here. I mean, you got North Korea. I want to get to that in a moment with the issue of trade. But this is a big story here statewide. They're going after the Commissioner of Agriculture, acting like, I mean, they've even invoked the Pulse nightclub, which had nothing to do with whether or not a background check. But they're talking about the Parkland shooting, the Pulse nightclub, this happening during Commissioner of Agriculture Adam Putnam's term in office, that somehow, because 291 applicants had to get turned down, that somehow did one of these guys use a gun to commit a murder? We haven't found any evidence of that. But they're trying to invoke, like, this is somehow – that because of this, the shootings took place.
Yeah.
It is.
It's absolutely outrageous. I mean, nothing has happened there. Anytime, even if you have a concealed weapons permit, when you go to buy a gun, you got to do another background check.
Right.
You said there were three. There's three, and it gets run again when you go to purchase a gun over again. The total hypocrisy. You got a situation in Broward County. We've got a bunch of Democrats calling on Adam to resign as the ag commissioner over this.
They should look at their sheriff first.
Yeah, I mean, you got a sheriff and a superintendent. There's no question that the program they put in place allowed Nicholas Cruz to stay in that school and commit that crime.
Exactly.
They're not resigning. They're not being told to.
No. I was saying this is very enlightening because, you know, a representative called, because we didn't realize it's three different background checks. The first one that the people were able to kind of fall through the cracks.
Is the federal.
Was the federal one that allowed them to get the permit, but that doesn't mean they're allowed to actually use that to purchase a gun. Am I correct?
That's correct. The only thing the concealed weapons permit does is exempt you from the 3-day wait period, but you still got to do the background check.
Hold on, wait. Then what background check was it that caught the individuals that shouldn't have had the guns there?
The state system.
Oh, my. It just proves the point that the federal background check system isn't always that great.
And this person apparently attempted to log in, but whatever reason, their login user ID and password wasn't working. So instead of, you know.
That's what they said, right?
Instead of pushing it further, you know, to figure out why isn't that working, they decided just forget it. We have a state system that's going to watch.
What do we know?
Anyway.
By the way, State Representative Matt Collins was running for the Commission of Agriculture. So this big story here, I mean, this has been big news the last couple of days, is that somehow that the Commissioner of Agriculture knew about this story, that he didn't come out with this whatsoever. Here's the question. We know what the media, I mean, I'm a member of the media. Did the media know about this story, or did they just, how did this story come to light? Do we know?
I mean, I think it's pretty clearly somebody's looking to try to take a hit at one of the candidates for governor on a Republican ticket.
A newspaper in Tampa broke the news.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay Times, I mean, it's notoriously anti-conservative. That's the way they view the world. They're the New York Times of Florida. So, you know, that's what they pride themselves on, and that's how they operate when they write articles.
The website's votecaldwell.org. There was actually, Roger and I covered, and you were here, and this is a big thing. Audience did not know this. That the counties, the way that the system's been set up for concealed license permit, this goes to the tax collector's office, that if I'm not mistaken, and unfortunately, Roger, it's been partisan, that not every county will take and do the concealed weapons, you know, give you the licenses. They don't even promote it, number one. And I've been told there's several counties that won't even issue them.
Yeah.
How can they get away with that?
Well, it's a voluntary program. So, you know, the one of the great innovations we've had over the last 8 years is moving the program out to the tax collectors to process it. You don't have to have another bureaucracy, another Department of Agriculture office and build one in every county. You just let the tax collectors do it. But unfortunately, it's what you said. There's some tax collectors, you know, they don't want to sign on for it for whatever reason, maybe partisanship on some folks that just don't believe in your Second Amendment rights. And we're going to have to expose those folks and make sure people know in their community, hey, your tax collector's not taking this seriously.
Now, for the audience to know, you've won a lot of these straw polls. You're not, I mean, and we don't endorse candidates, but I'm just saying, when you've won the straw polls, you've gotten A-plus ratings from the NRA, pro-life. I mean, a lot of groups have said you're the conservative one in this race. That's what they've said. When you look at the issue of trade, we have gotten a lot of response from a lot of the listeners, Canada, Trudeau, trade, China. Is China going to put, can they hold us as somewhat hostage, whether or not we go down the road of North Korea the right way when it comes to the issue of trade? Here in the state of Florida, I mean, it's a big issue. Does any of those countries kind of hold us hostage sometimes because maybe some of maybe whether it's NAFTA or we, and I'm not trying to throw somebody particularly on the bus, maybe we haven't done trade properly in this country or in the state of Florida?
Yeah, I mean, my conclusion is that we shouldn't ever do a multi-country trade deal. Each trade deal should be one-to-one, what benefits each party, or else let's have true free trade. And you've seen that's what the president said. He told the Europeans, look, he's going to respond on the industries that he thinks need to be protected, but if they'll agree to go tariff-free on everything, and that's really the key here, and it's the same problem we have in NAFTA. NAFTA is called a free trade agreement, but we've got products that have tariffs. They still have protections between Canada, between Mexico. You know, in Florida, we absolutely get our butts handed to us by Mexican production because between labor cost and, frankly, The drug cartels that run the industry there, they don't really care if they make money on the vegetables. They lose money on the vegetables because they're not really selling that. They're
putting stuff in the vegetables. Yeah.
One of the primary products that Mexico is going to bring in, and I guess thanks to NAFTA, that is competing with Florida specifically. I think their citrus industry maybe, and what are some of the others?
All your vegetables, your wintertime crops, your tomatoes, your peppers, your lettuces, and Florida is the only place in the United States that can grow wintertime vegetables. The rest of the country's snowed under. Anything north of Jacksonville, pretty much. So Mexico's a direct competitor with us from December through April.
But let me ask this question, because I want to revolve it a little bit around the historical meeting that took place Tuesday morning with China. Is that when you look at Trump talking about tariffs, this has been a big issue the last several months. Some of those would sit back and say, even the free traders would sit back and say that have worked in with him, like Larry Kudlow had a heart attack, but he seems to be doing fine. But that this is just used as a negotiating tool here. The question is do you think that we have enough when it comes to like agriculture that we can do with some of these countries that sits back and that we actually can promote a better deal for us? Or have we just been continuously, are we kind of held hostage because we've given up so much in some of our trade and in some of the agriculture area here in Florida to countries like China? So now we want to sit back and say, hey, we can force it on them because we want a better deal for you to help us out with North Korea.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is no easy question, and it really is. I'm impressed at this point with how the president's been able to wade through some of the real challenges. It is all kind of a difficult balancing act. You've gone out, we've made these agreements over the last 30, 40 years, kind of built this Jenga tower around the world of trade. And if you pull the wrong block out, does it make everything fall apart and really end up being worse off for us? So far, the president's been able to demonstrate, from my perspective, the ability to balance it and get people to stay at the table and take seriously the issues that he sees. And he sees those issues. He sees that our farmers in Florida have really been undercut and a lot of our industry destroyed by NAFTA in that regard. He sees that the people in the Midwest have lost all of this production. Automobile, steel has gone overseas, and it's left people without jobs.
The website is votecaldwell.org. He's one of the Republicans running for the Agriculture Commissioner. Again, votecaldwell.org, votecaldwell.org. Hey, I'm glad you came in the studios today.
Yeah, absolutely. Always glad to.
It's good to see you.
Good work out for me, too.
Yeah. Matt Caldwell, state representative here. More as we continue to move along. Roger Henderson, Ed Dean right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
On Blanding Boulevard North at Argyle Forest, there's been an accident. 295 North at the Butler Boulevard exit, there's another crash. And if you're at 95 South at Butler Boulevard, look out for a broken down car.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
With the temperatures rising, you'll want to make sure that your air conditioning system is working properly. That's why Snyder Air Conditioning should be your first call for your preventive maintenance needs. Why choose another air conditioning company when you can choose Snyder? You can count on Snyder to properly clean and check your system. There's a big difference between checking your system and cleaning your system. Cleaning your system will extend the life of your air conditioning unit and will also save you money on your electric bill. And right now, with 100% financing available with approved credit, there's never been a better time to upgrade your system. Snyder Air Conditioning is a family-owned Daikin Comfort Pro and can fix and service any make or model. Snyder Air Conditioning is Jacksonville's number one residential air conditioning company and has been serving Jacksonville for over 40 years. Snyder Air Conditioning. Call today at 641-0600. Snyder Mann and Daikin. License number CAC 181-3307.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. Did you know that only 1% of all the diamonds in the world qualify to be a Forevermark diamond? They're the world's most carefully selected diamond and the world's most responsibly sourced diamond. These diamonds benefit the communities they're sourced from. That's why these diamonds carry an invisible Forevermark icon on their table. Most people don't know that Forevermark diamonds are individually cared for from the mine all the way to her finger. And that's where Underwoods fits in. Not everybody can carry Forevermark diamonds. And in fact, all of the companies in the Forevermark network that handle the diamond between the mine and her finger are vetted and carefully selected for their honesty and integrity to also carry that Forevermark icon. Underwoods is proud to be a part of the Forevermark network. And in fact, we were one of the first five in the United States invited to join. So come by and see our selection of Forevermark diamonds in San Marco, Avondale, and the Shops of Pontevedra.
For more than 25 years, the potential for health improvement is seen with each patient that walks through our door. Healthcare decisions don't have to be confusing. Make Island Doctors your medical practice.
Island Doctors cares about their patients.
They got my blood pressure off the ceiling, my thyroid off the floor.
Call us today to schedule a tour of one of our locations near you and take a peek at our best wellness program. And welcome home.
1-877-434-4676.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
There's a strong chance of rain with thunderstorms by the afternoon, a high of 90, more rain this evening, and a low of 71, right now 74 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9, Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Pew Research Center says public support for the death penalty has increased. President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un signed a document on Tuesday stating that the regime will work towards a complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. And a study by the University of California finds that higher minimum wage increases poverty.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Thank Chairman Kim for taking the first bold step toward a bright new future for his people. Our unprecedented meeting, the first between an American president and a leader of North Korea, proves that real change is indeed possible. My meeting with Chairman Kim was honest, direct, and productive. We got to know each other well.
President Trump, of course, met with a historic meeting this morning, came out at 4 a.m. Yeah, I was ready to go with his clips. Came out and said that, hey, we sat down, sanctions are still in place. We didn't come soft-handed when we sat down with the North Korean dictator.
Very confined period of time, under very strong circumstance. We're prepared to start a new history, and we're ready to write a new chapter between our nations.
I want to ask the audience, I want to ask you this morning, does this story concern you? How do you rate this of a 1 to 10? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Also, here's another question. How do you think the media will react to this? If the Chuck Schumers and others were against the Iran nuclear deal, but yet they defend it with President Obama, so they switched, do you think any of the Democrats would switch on this? Do you think any of the Never Trumpers, the Mitt Romneys and those guys out there that said that Trump was going to be a disaster with the foreign policy? Remember the Jeb Bushes and a lot of those guys. And I like the governor. But you remember how they downplayed that the Donald Trump, again, if George W. Bush Roger was the John Wayne, then, you know, Donald Trump was, you know, whatever, the gunnery sergeant, Full Metal Jacket, you know, Sergeant Hartman or Clint Eastwood. Should President Trump even get a Nobel Peace Prize? I say it a little tongue-in-cheek, but if this had been President Obama, oh, heck yeah. But how do you think the media will react to this?
You know, it's very interesting you mention this. I've been looking on Twitter accounts of some of the Democratic leadership, both Clintons, President Obama. They have said nothing with respect to this deal. I even checked Chuck Schumer. He's not talking about it. He is talking about China right now, but not North Korea. You think that we should come together as a country and say, you know what? This is good for all Americans, regardless of political party.
Some of the media, I was listening to this last night. I was on the radio. I was listening to the radio, and some of these guys were like, well, okay, whatever, but like, why can't he do this with Vlad and Putin and all these guys? Well, Vlad and Putin, and I'm not a fan of those guys, but they're not shooting missiles over American territories.
Exactly, exactly. Or threatening to blow up Guam. So it's an entirely different thing. I think the president did hit this out of the park. He was tough. He said, you know what, this is our position, but we are going to hold out an olive branch for you. And then Kim Jong-un took it.
So I wonder if, like, for example, yesterday, more people were pumped up about the Inspector General's report, which I think is going to be quite fascinating. I'm going to tell you, I'm more excited about that coming out. Not many people were interested. Some of the emails I got, not many people, maybe out of a lot of the calls we took yesterday, just maybe one or two. But I'm just kind of curious, why not? Why is this not a big issue? Maybe because we've been down this road with other presidents.
Mm.
I mean, not that it is distrust Trump. I'm just saying we've been down this road. Trust, but verify that maybe you're not. I mean, are we going to go down the road where we have these agreements, we have these treaties, like the Iranian nuclear deal, but they might move the missile somewhere else? And why is this not a big issue that, many people just don't seem to resonate with?
You know, I don't know. I was personally surprised how quickly they agreed to something significant like this. I thought it would end up taking two or three different meetings, making incremental progress along the way, and it happened within a matter of hours. Now, of course, the details are going to be hashed out. I'm sure there's going to be probably some.
There's got to be more meetings going on.
There's
going to
be some foreign aid involved and help for the people who are starving there, which is,
right,
appropriate probably. But the fact that there's now not going to be any nuclear missiles on the Korean Peninsula is huge.
Well, as of now. I mean, you got to, as they say, trust but verify.
Right.
So let me ask you this morning, at 904-222-8255, do you buy into this? I think it's historic. Having said that, I'm one of these that's just skeptical of not President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just skeptical of what the North Korean dictator out there. I mean, have we put the boot on his throat, as which has been said a lot of the media out there? How is China? I mean, have we put the talk of tariffs on China in order to get them to come across? Because they're the stepdad of North Korea out
right
there. What do we do? Do we sit back? I mean, President Trump has said that we're not going to release the sanctions. We're going to keep them harder here. I wonder what the conversation was about. It wasn't like the fire and fury that, at the UN last September, that the president was talking and things of that nature. But if this is a force of nature that we got to put our foot down, then why are we so weak-kneed half the time? And we've been, not just President Obama, but in other areas, why is that we just haven't been strong enough?
You know what? I don't
know. We don't want to offend anybody.
Maybe every, government, every regime is different. And with it comes to North Korea, the Kim dynasty, they care about survival more than anything else. And I think that the fact that President Trump said that you guys aren't going to survive if you go down this path, that may have gotten their attention.
And the guy who's all excited about this is former NBA star Dennis Rodman.
My ears will be open. And I tried to do that to Obama. And Obama didn't even give me the time of day. I asked him. I said, I have something to say from North Korea. He just brushed me off. But that didn't deter me. I still kept going back. I showed my loyalty and my trustworthy to this country. And I said to everybody, I said, the door will open.
I mean, I wonder if somebody can verify that Dennis Rodman was a goodwill ambassador. Because let me tell you something. If he actually had a little bit, you remember Muhammad Ali back in the first Iraq war, where he was able to get some people come back, hostages, and it was great. And he just wanted to do his job. Rodman out there, he's wearing a Make America Great Again hat on. I mean, that's as funny as
anything.
But
don't even quote the T-shirt. It's a totally different thing.
And today is a great day for everybody. Singapore, Tokyo, China, everything. It's a great day.
Is it a great day? I mean, it's a great day when we finally have the nukes and we can verify that.
Right.
That's the great day.
Right. You know what? I think that Kim Jong-un is smart enough to realize we've got some pretty superior intelligence. We can read their newspapers from satellites in a geosynchronous orbit. So we know whether or not they've got nukes.
Whole mix, we had Colonel Michael Waltz, Fox News contributor, on yesterday. The whole thing about this whole story is, to me, is China's involvement with this. How's China? You got the new Lee, you got the new dictator, communist leader of China. And by the way, they're still communists. I don't care. I mean, they just love a little bit of free market and whatever. But I want to know how they're going to react to all this and how they are reacting.
Well, they flew Kim Jong-un to Singapore in a Chinese jet, because they don't have Air Force One in North Korea. I don't know if China was in the meetings.
Do you know what the oddity about this is? According to some of the news reports, Kim Jong-un brought a toilet with him to Singapore.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
They were saying that one of the things that U.S. intelligence does is basically take the human waste and then do analysis on it to find out the health of the person and maybe even do some DNA testing and that kind of thing.
Interesting.
And he was just trying to keep everything kind of private. I know it's kind of gross, but that's what he probably were trying to protect of, and brought his own food with him.
55 minutes after the hour, talk radio WBOB.
If you're on I-295 North on the ramp to Butler Boulevard, we see an accident there this morning that could slow you down. Earlier, Blanding Boulevard North at Argyle, another crash, and 295 North at Heckscher. We see another accident this morning.
This is Bill Martin with God First Ministries. I want you to see that God has made His fullness of provision available to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says of God, He has delivered us. He will deliver us again, and on Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. Set your hope on God, a confident expectation of His deliverance in your life. Expect to be set free from what comes to destroy in your life. You can have the same response as Paul. God has delivered me, He will deliver me, and He will continue to deliver me. Look to God. He is your first and best source.
This message has been brought to you by God First Ministries of Jacksonville. For more information, visit their website at godfirstmin.com.
Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. Stop wasting money on bottled water and hard water costs. Get yourself a Kinetico system, the only non-electric water-powered hybrid on the market to both soften and filter your water. Go see my friends at CGC Water, a third-generation family business for over 65 years, and your local authorized Kinetico dealer. With the Kinetico system, you can save money on water heating bills and cleaning supplies. You can spend less time cleaning soap scum, limescale, and spots on dishes and glasses. It removes chlorine so your skin and hair feel softer, and it helps prevent laundry fading. Plus, a Kinetico system can actually lengthen the life of your appliances that use water up to 50%, and it protects your pipes from buildup. You can trust Kinetico. Get a Kinetico system today and start saving money. Call CGC Water at 904-645-6060 or visit cgcwater.com.
Frank White, the conservative we can trust.
I'm Frank White, and I'm tired of the politicians playing by their own rules and lacking the courage to do the right thing. Liberal judges and elites threaten the Constitution and mock our values. We need principled conservatives who will stand up for us and fight to hold politicians accountable. That's why I support term limits and President Trump's fight against the special interests. I've stood up for the Constitution and said no to the politicians who wanted to take away our Second Amendment rights. That's why I'm proud to have the NRA's highest A-plus rating. And as a husband, father to three boys, I'll always fight for the rights of the unborn, because I'm 100% pro-life. Some people just talk the talk in campaign season, but as a lifelong conservative dedicated to the Constitution, you'll always know where I stand. I'm Frank White. Join me. Let's fight back and hold government accountable to we the people.
Sponsored by United Conservatives.
A strong chance of rain with thunderstorms by the afternoon and a high of 90 degrees. More rain this evening. Overnight, the low 71. Right now, it's 74 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Pew Research Center says that the death penalty, the support is actually going up. Why is that? Do you believe the death penalty actually deters crime? And can I ask you a question? Why do you think, this is almost rhetorical, but why do we even have a death penalty? Want to know what you think at 222 Talk. Also, University of California says when you mix in the earned income tax credit, welfare, and a $15 an hour minimum wage, it will not get people out of poverty. And of course, the biggest story this morning is about North Korea. Is there egg on the face of the liberal media? I want to know what you think about these issues this morning at 222 Talk. 222-8255. The Ed Dean, Roger Henderson on FM 101.1 AM 600, Talk Radio WBOB.